to a desert. Send water to a desert.
Mark, yes. I have never told you this.
You're water to a desert.
But I am water to the desert.
Yes. I'm surprised you can be so smoky and happy sounding after the tragedy we just learned about.
Yeah, I know. Actually, there is some validity to the negativeness right. that I feel right. once I heard for the first time
right.
about the tragedy.
I know. See, I wasn't going to tell you because I thought it might ruin your ability to do the show, but you seem to be taking it pretty well.
Well, no, the reason why I'm taking it so well is that nothing supposedly is going to change for a long time.
For us.
Yeah. For you and I. Only.
Right. Right.
Because nobody right. else has one of these.
Yes. That's correct. We are the only ones in the whole world except for another two or three.
Yeah.
But we're talking about our spot watches, our Microsoft spot watches that we mentioned before that we're the only ones in the world that we ever heard of who have them. Apparently, Microsoft finally figured that out.
That
we're the only ones who have them. And they dropped the whole thing. They haven't dropped the spot concept. They're still going to be transmitting the information on FM subcarriers of weather and traffic and stock reports and things like that.
Yeah.
But for bigger devices, like for weather machines, you know, home little hang-on-the-wall weather machines or...
Right. And there's
or
a coffee
GPS's
maker. There's a coffee maker that actually uses spot technology.
Just for the weather, just to show weather.
Yeah, and then...
There's GPS's that are using it for traffic, to pick up traffic reports. But they decided to drop the original thing, which was the watches.
I think Oregon Scientific also has a...
they've got weather.
Has some kind of a device that does something.
There's our wall hanging, actually. I was going to buy theirs, even though it was pretty expensive. I finally broke down one day and decided to buy it. But then it turns out it's pretty big and desktop-y. It's not really something
you
can...
Yep.
Yeah,
thank you.
Would you guys like any fresh green pepper at all?
Yeah, please.
Just tell me one.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just tell me one.
That's good.
All right, enjoy.
Thank you.
I was going to ask him, I've always had this question about waiters and busboys. If you never tell them when, will they eventually stop? thank you. Oh, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Will they ever stop by themselves, or will they really sit there waiting forever?
You know,
it's not really forever because the pepper grinder will run out after a while.
Right.
So it's not really forever.
That's something for Al to do because Al has the ability
right.
to do that.
Okay.
So greetings, everybody. This is Wes.
This is Mark.
And this is the WNO, the show where we like to talk about how new technology really relates in some way to old technology.
Right. And in case you're... listening to us through iTunes, because we're now in iTunes.
Yay!
And not rather than through the website, why don't you give out the URL so they can, because on the website we post backup information about different URLs we give out in the podcast and stuff like that.
That's right. http://  whatsnewisold.blogspot.com.
Okay.
And then what's new is old has no spaces, just all what's new is old.
Right.
So yeah, we update that pretty regularly. You can actually go in there, and that's the blog. For anybody that's not familiar with the blog.
Yeah, we don't put too much on there other than the announcement of a new show. But if we mention URLs in the show or if we mention that something we just can't think of the URL offhand, then we may post it on there.
Right. Yeah. That works out pretty well. And if you want to make a comment, you'll see a little thing at the bottom of each show that says comments. It says zero comments right now because none of our episodes have any comments because nobody listens.
Well, one.
Oh, that's true. So where are we eating today?
Pizza Antica. And
yay.
I know that from the T-shirt of the waitress over there. And Laugh-A-Lot, California.
That's right. We're in Laugh-A-Lot, California.
Or Troy calls it Ha-Ha-Lot.
So before we get the show started, I want to say what's up to my friend. I won't say his name for being so aggressive and being so open. We had lunch today, and there was a very fairly attractive woman next to him, and he just started a conversation with her and ended up giving her his phone number.
Okay.
I guess it would be a different story if he actually got her number.
Yes.
But...
Yes.
But does he
listen to Tom Likas?
He doesn't. But he should go listen to the last show. Mm-hmm. And click on the Tom Likas blowmeuptom.com website.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But that website won't say anything. The purpose of going to the Tom Likas website is to see when he's going to be on the air or to listen to him, listen to his show over the internet. Anyway.
So, we have some stories.
Although nothing that's as big and important as that spot watch thing.
Nothing as big as Microsoft news.
Okay.
What do you think of the salad?
It's okay. With boring lettuce with some pine nuts.
Got pine nuts.
The dressing is good. Yeah. Anyway, so Microsoft is beta testing this thing called Mesh.
Oh, yeah, Mesh.
Is it mesh.live.com as the homepage for
it? I think everything is now going to be all like live, something live.
It's it might be mesh.live.com. I got an invitation to the beta test this morning, but I haven't actually tried it yet. But from what I understand, it's the service for Windows only right now, but I think they will have it for other operating systems later, where you designate some directory or set of directories or set of files or something on your computer that you would like synchronized with other computers or with other people, other computers that you own or maybe other people. And then everyone runs this mesh service on their PCs or Macs or whatever. And then Nick will just keep all their files synchronized through that internet interface. And I think you might be able to get at the files, you know, directly on the internet and stuff like that.
Cool.
If you're traveling. So it might be good for something, but
would it like allow? Is it like a P2P thing where basically you open up, you designate a folder to synchronize?
Yeah, basically.
But then you share it with other people, or
yes, you can, or synchronize your own machines. But I think you can share as well.
Okay.
Yeah, how are they going to deal with the illegality on that? That's interesting. You know, what if you share a bunch of music files you don't own or something?
Just jealous of all the P2P torrent.
Yeah, but that's interesting though. How are they intend to deal with that or not?
They're Microsoft.
Yeah.
Just ask Bill.
I'll try it. I should write tomorrow afternoon or something. I'll probably have time to play with it.
As a suggestion to Microsoft, you know how they like to purchase songs and stuff to represent their technologies?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe that's not so true anymore. Maybe that's more Apple, but the song by Lakeside called It's All The Way Live.
Oh, okay.
I recommend Bill.
Oh, that'd be good, yeah.
License that and use it in a commercial.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah, we talked about Twitter last night, too. And this is another example where I found out about this mesh thing from Twitter first, and I found out from Twitter how to get an invite code rapidly for it.
This is incredible. The number of people who are using Twitter in various different ways, a lot of people laugh at it, but there are positive, there are like really interesting ways. So, Mark, you were...
Yeah, but this is people who just, when they find out something interesting, or they're posting a new podcast, or they're posting a new blog entry or something, they'll do a quick Twitter about it. So just by watching various Twitters coming through, I'm tracking the words like Windows Mobile and some other things. And then there's also certain bloggers that I'm following, so I see when they do something, you know, in a much easier way than going to their blog, or much easier than RSS feed.
Okay.
Because most of their stuff I wouldn't care about, but just occasionally they have something.
Huh.
So I just watch the Twitter and I'll occasionally see something I want to bother with from them.
Who's one of the best bloggers that you follow?
I don't even remember. I just saw some hints. I see some hints about somebody, and then I follow them. I don't even have to look it up.
I gotta start following the real Dvorak.
Yeah, he's not talking about things that much.
Really?
He's mainly just talking about personal things. And a lot of them are just doing traveling stuff and things like that. A lot of them aren't really doing what their real work is. No.
Huh.
So, yeah, I'm tracking Leo. I'm following Leo Laporte also.
Okay.
He does talk about when he has new entries of things. But, anyway, but this is about the third time, though, that I heard about something just through some random thing on Twitter. And then I found out, I go to the website, find out you need an invite code, and then I start tracking that as a keyword on Twitter, and sure enough, some message will come through telling, hey, you can get an invite code for that by going over to here right now and stuff.
Wow.
This is about the third time I've gotten an invite code for things.
The community is pretty strong.
Yeah. But if you want to get a very interesting feel for it, for the kind of messages that go through it, there's two websites I found that kind of compete with each other for their free service. that draw a picture of the Earth and show you every public tweet that comes through,
yeah,
where it is on the world,
right,
that coming through.
And, and it shows the icon of the actual tweeter, Twitter.
Yeah. Well, not, well, yeah, no, because it doesn't show their pictures. It doesn't show their pictures, does it? Does, yeah, one of them show their picture?
Yeah.
Okay.
The one that you sent me.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, so here they are. One's called Twit Earth, WITTEARTH.com. The other one is TwitterVision.com.
Okay.
TWITTERVISION.com. And I say they both in different ways draw picture of the Earth and then show every Twitter where it's coming from, if they know.
Yeah.
It depends on what, they don't really go by IP address, there's nothing like that.
Yeah.
They know where people are based on when they originally signed up for Twitter, that it asks them what city,
right,
the state or country you're in.
But
so it just goes by that.
The other thing that I found out is that the update frequency is not as fast as the actual Twitters that are being sent out all over the nation or all over
maybe
the world.
Maybe. Yeah, it's just, it's hard to say.
It's like one it's per...
one every several seconds or something. Yeah, that's possible.
There's more going on than just that.
Maybe.
Sure.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
No?
I don't know if the Twitter's really that popular, but... anyway, it's just interesting to get a feel for the whole thing.
Yeah.
But ultimately useless because you have to sit there watching it all day.
Right.
But you just get an idea of what it's about, and then you can start deciding what you want to do with it. Anyway, enough about Twitter, though. Do you have anything else?
Oh, yeah. I got some good stuff. So there's a rumor that that Apple is going to release upgraded iMacs,
right,
next,
okay,
week.
Okay.
And, nothing major, just more hard drive space, and I think they're going to be speed bump machines.
Okay.
Yeah, bigger hard drive space, but prices are going to stay the same. So basically it knocks down all the other iMacs a bit.
Okay.
Which means iMacs will be a good deal if you want to get a fairly decent machine.
Right.
These are the ones with the built-in monitor,
yeah,
and the CPU.
But they're Macs.
I know.
They're not Windows. They're not Microsoft. Yeah.
If you're not getting a quad-core Mac, then
yeah, forget it.
They can run like, you know, fairly fast,
mm-hmm,
Windows XP. Then forget it. What do you mean?
Exactly.
Why wouldn't you want to buy a Mac that runs Windows XP? I mean, come on.
I'm always tempted to get a Mac notebook and then run Vista on it or something. Yeah, that's right. But
wasn't the high-end Mac notebook like, didn't it run? It was the fastest notebook that could run Windows XP. It was not.
Yeah, although
not
some
a Dell
people claim,
or not a PC.
Some people claim there was something in England that was faster. Yeah. But yeah, that's true.
That's me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the calzone for you?
Yes. Oh, okay, thank you.
You get these out of your line as well.
Yeah, actually, take that.
Anything
else?
Yeah,
looks real good.
Here.
No, that's right.
Thank you.
Yeah, this looks really good, doesn't it?
Mm. It's a calzone.
Yeah.
No, it's a calzone.
And it has olives.
Olives?
Yeah.
What?
There's olives over here.
Why? What does that have anything to do with a calzone?
I don't know. It's Italy. It's
Italian.
Like
a calzone.
It's Italian. It's okay.
But I've got parsley.
Yeah, your pizza looks really good too.
Yeah, I got parsley.
Okay.
Except the edge is burned.
Hmm. So anyway, so what were you talking about?
Okay, so I was talking about the new iMacs that are coming out, or the speed bumps as
yeah,
Apple
but that's just rumors. I don't know if that, those rumors don't sometimes pan out, sometimes
although
don't.
Recently some of these rumors have been true. So
yeah,
for something as small as this, I believe that that might be possible.
Okay.
It'll come and go. I mean, nobody will really care. It'll be a speed bump, and
right,
nobody will care. So just new people who are going out to purchase it won't know that all of a sudden they're getting a little harder, a little
okay,
hard driving.
Okay. But see, there's another Apple rumor that I'm much more interested in, but I suspect it's bullshit.
Okay.
That people are talking more and more about there's going to be a 3G speed iPhone soon, but people are claiming that it won't look anything like the current iPhone. It'll be a flip phone, or it'll be have a slide-out keyboard, or it'll be something totally different than the current iPhone, and I'm very skeptical about that. The whole point of the iPhone is exactly the size and shape it is and all that, you know?
Yeah, and then all the software that actually, like, does movie rendering and,
yeah,
and DVD ripping will have to then, like, go through re-releases and
right,
updates to support the new screen resolutions.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, it'd be nice. I'd far prefer something like the iPhone for a lot of reasons, but have a real slide-out keyboard. I certainly prefer that.
Yeah.
And replaceable batteries. Yeah, it was the... Anyway, I'm guessing that those rumors are not true. Better not break that watch. You'll never get another one. Wait.
I use the watch to time the podcast. So okay. I go into chrono mode and I turn it on at the beginning of each show.
Okay.
So Mark was looking at me.
Yeah, don't break,
break that watch.
Yeah. I was running around on eBay. People are saying it's that they've been wondering why it was so hard to buy them lately. But I just kind of wonder if eBay people still have them. Anyway,
so
but
what's the deal with Skype being sold? eBay is selling Skype?
No, I've seen rumors. Did you see anything more definitive? Skype's going. The only Skype news I've seen is that they're adding more. They're adding more fixed price plans. Like Skype has always had fixed price per month or per year to make unlimited calls in the United States and Canada. And now they're doing an international fixed price plan for most countries. For most countries.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a nine, maybe more like nine or really? 10. But
is that niner?
Aspreth.
Okay.
But it was going to be not necessarily cell phones for most countries and for landlines, not necessarily cell phones. Because a lot of other countries charge far more to call cell phones.
Uh-huh.
And the reason for that is that in the United States, cell phone users are used to paying for the minute for incoming and outgoing.
Right.
You know, whatever your number of minutes of your planet. But a lot of other countries, they get incoming calls for free because the caller pays for the incoming calls because cell phones have special area codes, special prefixes. So people know that they're calling a cell phone and they're going to get charged higher prices. So the same thing works internationally. If you call in a lot of countries, if you call a cell phone, you get charged more because the cell phone owner is not paying anything for the incoming call. Anyway, I have another item that I'm lumping in here only because it has the word Spot on it, but otherwise there's nothing to do with the Spot watch. There's been various efforts to have satellite phone service.
Oh, yeah.
Because satellite phone service can work all over the world. The places that may not have cell towers.
Well, before cell phones, that was the way that rich people communicated.
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't that the running thing, like on TV shows, like all the drug dealers and stuff in the 1970s would have satellite phones?
No, not that early, I don't think. I don't know. When was the first satellite phone service? I don't even know.
I
don't think it was that early.
No?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't remember. There's an article on Wikipedia about it that gave the whole history of every satellite phone company. So, anyway, satellite phone service is only used really by people who are super rich or people who are constantly traveling to places that don't have cell phone service and just really need a phone or willing to pay for it, or ships at sea, things like that, or who use satellite phone service.
Military.
Yeah. There have been efforts occasionally to have a low price plan. Like I saw a couple years ago, some satellite company had a fairly low price plan in the United States that was pretty competitive with regular cell phone rates, but you had like to a 10-year contract with them or something like that.
Okay.
Anyway, so I saw this item about a thing called the Spot Satellite Messenger. That's not a phone, but it just has several push buttons on it.
Okay.
And you carry it with you when you're hiking or boating or whatever. And it's strictly to let people know you're okay or to summon help. So it has a button called OK. You press that button and it'll just send a message to whoever you designate saying that you press the OK button, that you're just letting people know you arrived and you're fine. Or you can press a button called emergency or something. Whichever button you press, it'll send your current GPS location to this list of people along with what your status is.
Okay.
And because it's a satellite base, it'll work pretty much everywhere.
Okay.
So it's not too horribly expensive because you can't send messages through it. All you can do is push these buttons.
Okay.
But still,
this is not like handling your voice.
No, it doesn't have a voice whatsoever, no.
Okay.
But still, it's kind of expensive. Because they charge, it's like $200 to buy the device and then $100 a year for the service minimum Yeah, different levels of service plans.
So here's something that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's basically what it costs to buy an XM satellite radio.
Yeah, that's true.
It's about $200 to buy it, right. And then you pay for the subscription on top
per
of that,
month, which
is about $60.
Yeah, but no, they're like $12 or $13 a month or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna pay something like $60 down on top of the $200.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, but that's one way though. This thing is one way. The other way, you know, you transmit where you are, so it's a strictly an emergency type of a service. So say for people who are in the boonies somewhere. And then I also saw an article about some future vaporware satellite phone company is going to have a Windows mobile phone.
Right.
But that satellite system isn't even launched yet or anything. So it's really vaporware about the phone. It's vaporware about the whole satellite system. It'll probably never happen at all.
Yeah. I looked at the picture of the satellite Windows mobile phone. It looks pretty interesting. It's all black and.
But it looks too normal in size. Real satellite phones tend to be a fair amount bigger and need big antennas and stuff.
Well, the XM satellite, of course, it's only receiving. It's not very large.
That's true. But does that really get from satellites? Because XM, I don't know about Sirius, but XM at least, when you're in a city, they buy subcarrier space off of some radio stations. So your radio may be picking up from something local and not from a satellite. I wonder if those portable ones really get off the satellite or do they only work off of...
Where I live, in the boonies, there are no like XM land-based... transmitters.
But the portable things still work there?
You literally do have to have the antenna plugged into it.
Right.
There's an external antenna that has a long wire. You can their idea is that you would stick it outside.
But do the portable ones really work in your area? Have you ever tried that?
Yeah, no, it works fine. Even as long as it's got access to the sky, point of sight, or line of sight, it's fine. It's when you're in a building that's pretty like big that it starts having problems.
Okay.
Some people would actually say that that I'm wrong and that it actually gets very poor reception no matter where you are. But it all depends.
Yeah, I'm saying have one. They're okay most of the time. You know, you might skip sometimes, but most of the time it's okay. But I'm in a city with local repeaters and all that.
Right. So. That's the term I was looking for, repeaters.
Yeah.
So in the gadget world, one of the new upcoming gadgets that I'm kind of interested in is the iRivers, the E100 Toulouse speakers and add some aluminum resurface as an E150 or E200.
What is it? What's the whole device?
So these are these media players. They're kind of like iPod competitors.
Okay.
Although I suspect one of the things that they'll do that iPods don't do and iRiver products do this really well is they also record. They have digital audio recording. They've got fairly good microphones and compression and limiters built in, so...
Yeah, but they're not Apple.
Well...
Are they cool? Are they industrial
these
looking?
Are cool. These are industrial, and they're now made with aluminum.
Yeah, I don't know, because, you know, the reason no one will buy anything but an iPod is that iPods are cool. And industrial looking.
Well,
I've been told that by people.
I do have to say that Apple scored big by making iTunes very easy to use, and having everything function just like, you know... Right out of the box.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty hard to mess with that. I mean, everything you need to do, including podcasts, internet radio, burning, ripping CDs, watching videos, everything can all be done very easily within iTunes. Unlike other software, Napster, Reel, Sonic Sound, Sonic Stage software, which I use for the mini disc.
And the Microsoft thing, what's the name of that store? Microsoft MTV
has
Urge or something. Yeah.
That never really caught on.
But anyway, so this is so why do you like these non-Apple ones better? Okay, they can record. They can do video. A lot of them can do video.
Mm-hmm.
They're a lot cheaper, I suppose. But
yeah, they're a lot cheaper. Of course, they have some DRM. They work with some certain types of DRM.
That's digital rights management.
What is that?
Digital rights management.
Okay. So, but really, that's about it. I mean, really, that's like some of them might have a digital camera or there are some media devices that actually do some kind of video recording or at least still images. But just for ease of use and pretty much doing whatever it is you want to do, I imagine the E150 or 200 is going to be cheaper than what you could get the equivalent iPod for.
Right.
But
how much memory do they have? Ethan? Or is it, or can you plug a card in? Of course, real iPods, being cool and industrial, don't have any place to plug the card in. Of course,
they don't. They don't actually talk at all about the size of the internal drives, if there are internal.
Are going well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks.
You guys doing okay?
They don't talk about that. I imagine though, like a lot of iRiver products, there's usually like a secure digital slot,
or some
kind of a smart media drive.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's that. That's it for my. I'll put a link into the.
It just reminded me of something I was going to talk about anyway, and you gave me a segue into it. I was helping Chris Bernay today with this new Nextel smartphone he got.
Mm-hmm.
A Motorola, I think, i9 or 30. They also have the identical one as i9 or 20 without a camera, but they're identical otherwise.
Mm.
So Chris Bernay, if you recall from several weeks ago, is blind. So he needs a phone that talks, that speaks all the functions and makes it very easy for him to push the buttons and tell him what's going on and speak the caller ID and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Nextel has these two Windows mobile phones, and he knows of software, two different brands of software for Windows mobile phones that makes them accessible and talk and all that. So he gets one, and I go down to his office today to help him set it up and install his talking software. And first of all, they're really ugly, like all Nextel phones. They're really big and ugly.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't really that much bigger than other phones, but they're just designed deliberately to be ugly. I don't know what it is about the Nextel, but their phones are just really strange looking.
Huh.
So that was my first problem with it. Okay, then I noticed that it's Windows Mobile 2003, which was from like 3 years ago or something. I mean, when did Windows Mobile 5 come out? At least several years ago.
Well,
and it's not upgradable. I couldn't find any hacked.
Yeah.
Certainly Nextel had no way to upgrade it. Motorola don't. I couldn't find any hacked way to upgrade it. Everyone said it's just simply not upgradable. And these talking things he wanted to install both needed a Windows Mobile 5 minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, my segue from it, because you're talking about plug-in cards, this is just weird. I just didn't understand why they did that. It has a full-size SD card slot on it.
Mm-hmm.
But Nextel gave a free card, but they gave a micro SD with a full-size adapter. And why would they do that instead of just giving you a full-size card? It would probably be cheaper. It was kind of weird.
It might be cheaper actually to go the other way.
Yeah. There's only 256 megabytes, so maybe they just had a bunch left
maybe
over.
Maybe they just had a bunch of those, in stock, so they just gave you the...
Yeah, but it was just kind of weird to give you something with an adapter rather than just the real thing.
Hmm.
So. Anyway, that was just a bad experience. We were wasting all day fooling around with that, and it turned out that it really had that old operating system and couldn't do anything.
What is he going to do? Is he going to return it?
Yeah, he's going to return it.
Okay.
Yeah, the other thing people were complaining about, we didn't get far enough to run into this issue, but people were saying that Sprint has an application locked, that you can only install applications on it that Sprint approves of. So even though it's Windows Mobile, and there's, if it were a modern version of Windows Mobile, there'd be thousands of applications you could install, you couldn't, because Sprint would block them all.
What?
And people did know how to hack around that. So we did find articles how to get around that restriction, but we didn't get far enough to want to.
So did he buy this from Sprint?
Or Nextel, yeah, which is part of Sprint, yeah.
Right. It's not good. They're selling old hardware.
And that's the only one they have. That's Windows Mobile.
Yeah. I'm not impressed with the hardware selections for Windows Mobile devices. Like, even if I decided not to get a cell phone,
right?
There's not a lot of devices that look and feel as solid as the one that I used, which was the thumbboard version.
Which, mine's okay though. you know, the battery cover kind of falling off, the joystick's starting to break now. But other than that, that's been after years.
Well, I had mine for 2 years. I used mine really, really religiously for 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And it lasted. It looks just as good as it did when I bought it, except for the fact that I dropped it in the parking lot.
Mine would look fine too if I had never dropped it. The battery cover on mine is.
But I dropped mine
just
too.
So it still
looks good.
Okay. Anyway, mine has a little keyboard that hasn't worn out. It still works fine.
Okay.
The screen's small, but it's quarter VGA. It's got kind of normal, pretty normal pocket PC.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Size.
You got your secure digital slot on the top.
Mini. So the rumor is that HTC, is the Chinese company that makes these, is going to come out with some new phones for Sprint first. Later in the year, one of them will be the successor. This one's supposedly out in September.
It's Bomber.
Who?
That guy walking by looks just like Bomber.
Oh, did it say Bomber?
No, he looks just like him.
Who's Bomber?
Steve Bomber.
Oh, Steve Bomber. Okay. Was he bald?
Yeah. He looked like he was going to have a fit.
Okay, then.
Anyway,
they're going to come out with one that's a successor to mine. Except, you know, with a slide-out keyboard, but supposedly much cooler, shinier looks, and a real VGA screen, you know, 640 by 480 resolution screen.
Wow.
And then they're going to come out with one that's a successor to the Touch, which is kind of like mine, but without the keyboard, and a little bit special software to try to be more like an iPhone to let you deal with things without a keyboard, but I bet it doesn't work very well. I never used one, but I bet it's not.
I'm impressed with the quality, with the durability of the screen on the iTouch.
Right, because it's real glass, right?
Yeah.
It's cool, yeah.
Yeah, no matter how many provisions you put in place to protect the screen from getting scratched, you almost always end up doing something that you didn't plan on doing and didn't want to do, like put it in your pocket with keys. And so I did that.
But the iTouch, it being real glass, it probably didn't bother it that much.
No, it didn't scratch it at all. It didn't harm it. And I've done that several times without wanting to and trying to be cautious, but sometimes I screw up.
Okay.
And it's durable. It's been fine.
And the back is durable enough? It's not getting scratched?
The back, I got a cover for it. A little leather. Okay. Not leather, but like a rubber protector that just protects the back and the outer edges, but not the screen.
Okay.
So the iPhone 2.0 firmware update is scheduled for release in June.
Okay.
I watched the speech where they gave examples of some of the games that were written, and I finally got around to watching that the roadmap.
That was originally right. That was before any applications were actually written, right? Okay.
Where they gave developers 2 weeks. To use the SDK.
Okay. Yeah, they keep coming out with different versions. Like, I subscribed to that list, and I get messages every once in a while. They have a new version of the SDK coming out, but they haven't approved my application. I wouldn't really do it anyway, but I signed up for the $100 plan where you can actually write your own applications for yourself, and they said it was full at the time. They weren't accepting anybody, and so I didn't actually have to pay, and I probably wouldn't pay, but they've never notified me that I'm eligible to do that yet.
So, but you can download the SDK and install it and use it to develop applications, right?
But I don't think you can install
it. You don't have to pay the money, though.
Yeah, but true. But I think doing that, you cannot install them even to your own phone, I think. I think you have to join the $100 plan to be able to actually install anything on a phone. I haven't heard anything about that lately, really, but especially there's supposed to include the Microsoft Exchange server interface. I haven't heard anything about that for months.
That's supposed to be included in the firmware, and all that's supposed to be available for free.
Right, okay.
Unlike the 114 firmware with the software upgrade.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of silly. So what else we got? What else you got?
Oh, what's the Five and Airline story? Yeah, actually, also, I wear them, I like them on airplanes.
Okay.
But anyway, so on BART, I think I know what every announcement BART would ever make is, so I don't care. The fact that the headphones are blocking it out and I can't hear the announcement, I don't really care. But I've had three situations now where I've gotten myself in trouble because I missed the announcement.
Oh, okay.
There's one station like, you know, the Lake Merritt station, Fremont Hills, San Francisco, you can transfer from the Fremont line to the San Francisco line late at night. You normally do that at the station called Lake Merritt. No, So I was on the last train of the night, and I didn't realize that the last train of the night you have to transfer at MacArthur instead of transferring at Lake Merritt.
Okay.
So I totally spaced out on the announcement.
Okay.
Get out of Lake Merritt and wait a long time, and no train ever comes by. And finally someone told me that there aren't going to be any more. You have to go take a cab or take a bus or something.
Oh, man.
You know.
So how did you get back? You took a cab?
I took a cab, yeah.
Over the bridge?
Yeah.
Ouch.
It was expensive, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what was that run you?
I forget. $30 or $40, I'm sure.
Ouch. At least, but, yeah. Just to get over the bridge.
Yeah. Although someone told me there was a bus. I could have walked several blocks and taken a bus, but in, you know, midnight or 1 in the morning,
yeah,
I don't feel like doing
that. Not where you're, not near the MacArthur BART station, that's for sure.
Right. Then twice, trains were taken out of service early, and I didn't realize it, and I stayed on the train.
Okay.
And no one told me to get off. Actually, one of the times people did. One of the times, I was at some stop in the middle of the line, and a lot of people got off, and I didn't quite realize that everyone got off. I just saw a lot of people getting off. And then people started, from outside the windows, people started waving at me and saying something.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I was probably watching TV on my iPod, and back then that was very unusual. It still is. Very few people do that, even today.
Yeah, that's
right.
True. Yeah.
So I thought they were just waving at me, but look, he's watching TV on his iPod.
But so you're way back, so, like,
Yeah, you know, I stay in there, right. And then the train pulls out, and I look around, and I suddenly realize I'm the only one on there, on this char.
And that's going to fall off the face of the
air, or something.
You're at the end of the line.
Right, it wasn't. It was in the middle of the system.
Okay.
If it was in the end of the line, I would have known that.
Okay.
But it was in the middle of the system. The train had broken and taken out of service, but still drivable.
Oh.
So anyway, then a supervisor comes through and wants to know why I'm still on there, and I explain to him. He says, oh, that's okay. We'll let you off at the next station. This train's not dangerous. We're taking out of service because something's wrong with it, but it's not really dangerous. You can, we'll just let you off at the next stop.
Okay.
And then I did that another time. I was on a train at the Daly City that I thought went beyond Daly City, but I was wrong. And so I just, at Daly City, everyone gets off. I don't.
Uh-huh.
And the train pulls forward, but only into a maintenance yard or something. And anyway.
You had to walk back from the maintenance
or something, or they turned around and went back the other way or something. But,
okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so I had 3 incidents on BART. And then on airlines, one time a stewardess comes over, so I kind of know, they're just asking what drink I want or something. So sometimes I'll take an earphone out, or sometimes I'll just say, I'd like a Coke, please. So,
you don't even care
so
for
one of them,
response.
One of them I just say, I'll have a Coke, please. And then she keeps talking to me. No, a Coke, I'll have a Coke. She keeps talking to me. Finally, she keeps talking to me. So finally, I take the earphone out and says, sir, I'm not asking you what kind of drink you want. I wanted to tell you the plane is crashing in 5 minutes. And I forget what it was. No, she wanted to tell me something. It was not what drink I wanted. She was telling everyone something. I forget
what. The plane is going down. We need you to get ahead.
Yeah, it wasn't of that quality. It wasn't quite of that urgency.
Right.
But she was definitely trying to tell me something totally different than what drink did I want. And I completely missed it because I was wearing these headphones.
Wow.
That's how good the noise canceling is.
That's awesome.
Things, you know?
That's awesome.
So,
that's good. Yeah.
So,
that's why you're not allowed to drive wearing headphones.
I know.
At least
I know.
In the state of California.
Yeah. No, certainly not ones like this. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all for headphones. Do we have much more time?
We have a little bit more time. The one thing that I know you want to comment, Mark,
mm-hmm.
on this one is the GPS will now tell you that you're in a bad neighborhood.
Right.
So
I'm always arguing with all my racist friends about what a bad neighborhood means.
Yeah.
So, I don't really like that much. But.
So the story is that, let's see here. It appears that Honda's going even further. Honda's going to come out with a GPS that also warns drivers when they're in a bad neighborhood, when there's a high crime rate, and where their cars may be more likely to be vandalized or stolen.
Right.
So I imagine it does this sort of thing based on, like, police
information. They claim they're doing it on police records. But it's only in England right now, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, they're claiming they're going to do it based on police information and crime statistics.
Yeah.
So they won't be accused of being racist.
Okay.
Because they're not just doing it by neighborhood.
Well, a lot of towns and cities do, in this area, do publish crime and homicide numbers that you can get access to via the web.
Yeah.
So I imagine if that's some sort of like a soap available or some kind of RSS type information that these systems can kind of pull that information, that data.
I think so. Yeah, I think it was going to get them updated somehow.
Yeah, that would make some sense. Although, you know, what other information can GPS handle?
Oh, traffic. The most important thing for GPS is to want live information.
From satellite? Through traffic. Satellite, though?
Well, no. There's
GPS satellite.
There's several different ways of them getting traffic. There's
FM.
They can use FM subcarriers. They've got cellular ones. They've got the spot technology, the Microsoft SpotWatch technology. There's one that's out right now. I think it's called Dash. And that one uses a peer-to-peer thing where it has a two-way transmission on it.
Uh-huh.
So as you're driving along, it sees your speed, and it transmits to its headquarters what your speed is right now. And if other people on the same road are slowed down or whatever also, and then other people approaching that road will get information from the server about what the average actual traffic is going by right now.
Okay.
There, you know, from that.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah. Interesting. I know that one of the spot channels was their beta program for the traffic
on the
activity,
watch, right.
For the watch. That was the spot technology.
Yeah, and I say that Microsoft is working with GPS manufacturers to do that.
To be able to broadcast. Okay, well, that's one way that they're going to keep
the
that.
Trouble is, you know what, though? The trouble is that the spot watch, when you go out the boonies anywhere, if you go away from a big city, you lose the subcarriers. It doesn't really transmit out there.
Right.
So that's actually a point. How is that really going to work?
It's not.
You know? Yeah.
Unless they continue to make partnerships with the different FM transmitters, like different radio stations, to broadcast on the subchannels.
Yeah.
Subcarriers.
Anyway, so go to the website, make comments. No one ever does.
Yeah.
We want to see if people are actually listening or not.
So. Yeah. We want to get a feeling for, like, who's out there.
Right.
What your thoughts are, and whether we should be more organized or not.
Organized?
Yeah, organized. Like, we just beyond printing out news articles.
We're just eating dinner. We're eating dinner.
Yeah, I guess it would be a kind of a limit to the amount of unorganization.
It's really my dinner with West, right? Is what this.
<It's>
if you remember
West.
That, remember that.
W-N-O.
If you remember that old movie,
My Dinner with
Andre. Yeah, very old movie.
And I'm getting over a cold.
Okay.
Okay. Well, once again, Mark, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Wes, for recording it, putting it on the air, and all that.
Sure. Yeah. It's fun.
So.
And hopefully, it'll amount to something someday.
I know.